If you're listening to this, you already know our podcast. You may have even watched us on YouTube, but some of the most unforgettable moments in Glass Cannon history didn't happen in a recording studio. They happened live. In 2026, we're taking that energy on the road with an all-new touring show, Call of Cthulhu Live. Each city will experience its own unique, standalone story of cosmic horror, and we're coming to Madison on October 15th. You can get your tickets today at glasscannonnetwork.com/tour. And if you'd like to upgrade your experience with early entry for exclusive pre-show access and a meet and greet with the cast before the show, grab one of the limited BIGCP packages at checkout. Just head to glasscannonnetwork.com/tour and we'll see you in Madison.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
We shouldn't be alive on the Glass Cannon Network, your home, your destination for all us good friends trying out new role-playing games all the time, TTRPGs. And today we return to Twilight 2000, fourth edition, published by our good buddies at Free League. And we're having a blast with it. We last week delved into all kinds of fun little crunchy mechanics about what it's really like to try to play a tabletop role-playing game, open world survival game. And we are coming up against it here as our characters are low on food, low on water, but just overflowing with high-powered weaponry. It's a great combination that I'm excited to explore today. Mary Lou, how are you? What's your shirt? What is that? Oh, I've seen that amazing shirt before.
Ah, yes,
you
Gandalf.
Know him, you love him. It's Gandalf the Grey, baby.
Gandalf.
Hell yeah.
The elves know him as Mithrandir. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
From Tolkien's Legendarium.
Gandalf Stormcrow.
Stormcrow.
I spent too much money on this t-shirt.
It's an amazing shirt. It is top to bottom, side to side, completely full the face of Gandalf. I mean, it is. Yeah.
Oh, the Balrog, him fighting the
fighting
Balrog.
The Balrog. Him fighting the Balrog is the whole back. Man, that's a good shirt. That's a good shirt.
Yeah.
The design aesthetic, for those of you listening at home, is very like 90s heavy metal or also late 90s rap. It's kind of like,
yeah,
it's like a shirt that the Bone Thugs and Harmony would be on, maybe.
Yeah.
Except swap out Busy Bone for Gandalf.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It's what the kids do. They do this. It means ice in my veins. Hell yeah.
Ooh, I get it.
There you go. Nice.
Ice in my veins.
Appropriately themed too, as we return to our fictional year 2000. I think that the style fits very well. Jared, have
Pretty
you
sick-mastic.
Read every single published work of J.R.R. Tolkien?
No.
Okay.
No, that would be very difficult. There are probably a lot of people that have. I've read The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings trilogy, The Silmarillion, and Unfinished Tales.
So you did read Unfinished Tales. That's kind of what I
did. And let me tell you,
for.
They are unfinished.
What do you mean? What like do you mean by that?
It's describe half it to of me. A middle of a tale. Oh. Or it'll be a tale and then it doesn't really have an ending. I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff was stuff that he was just kind of kicking around in his files. And his son was like, the public wants to see these unfinished notes.
Like, I need to buy another house in southern France.
Yeah. Yeah. Wants yes. to buy them from me.
It's the public that I do this for. Yeah. I've never read those Lord of the Rings books. I've mostly only read Farmer Giles of Ham.
Yeah. The Adventures of Tom Bombadil, you've probably read. Yeah.
Leaf by Niggle.
Yeah. Beef by Niggle. Yep.
He did a great translation of The Green Knight, Sir Gawain yes. and the Green Knight, yeah. which is fantastic. And actually, the audiobook was voiced by Monty Python's Terry Jones, and it's great.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Cool.
That's cool. I want to read that. I want to read The Green Knight. I read The Buried Giant, which is
Kazuo
not the same.
Ishiguro.
Yes, yes. And it got me just like thinking about that just genre. And it's very sad, but I like it.
I really love Ishiguro. I read something called The Artist of the Floating World by Kazuo Ishiguro, which was very much about like Imperial Japan.
Cool.
And those, you know, the people that led them into World War II.
That's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very sad, very fascinating.
By Kazuo Ishiguro. I've only seen the movie Remains of the Day, which I love.
Right.
Mm.
Joe, Ishiguro novels have you read?
You know, I feel like I started reading The Remains of the Day like years ago. I got like a library copy. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I swear I did. And but clearly I didn't finish it or remember.
I've read Never
that
Let
much
Me
it,
Go.
But.
Mm-hmm. Never Let Me Go.
Mm-hmm. I have not read Clara and the Sun, but I've had it recommended to me.
Yeah.
So I might read that one eventually.
Lots of good stuff. Lots of good
it's
stuff.
On my Libby list.
But today.
I wonder if we can segue into another story about strained emotional relationships and dying and fading empires.
Can I just say
there
really quickly?
Go.
I just want to say very quickly before we transition, before we segue. That Never Let Me Go, all of these Kazuo Ishiguro novels are great, but they're not as great as The Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson.
Of course.
And
Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman. I mean,
that's right. Yeah.
It definitely goes Sanderson, Dinneman, and then far below that, Kazuo Ishiguro.
Ishiguro. Yeah.
And Jerry's, of course, being droll. Because if you recommend any book online, those books are coming right away. It's like, you like to read? I'm of a rather literary bent myself. Have you ever heard of a Dungeon Crawler Carl?
Oh, my God. All right. Before we talk for one more second about Dungeon Crawler Carl, I need to launch into Twilight 2000, returning to our game, returning to We Shouldn't Be Alive. We're going to do a brief recap in a second here and then pick it up at a little bit of a strange, intense situation when we come back from this break. We're going to take a quick break and then we come back with recap and full sesh. Stay with us.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes, those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
We are back. Don't forget, guys, I don't mention it enough, but don't forget, if you want to see other stuff that we do, other content, you can go to glasscannonnetwork.com and figure out or find a ton of different games that we play, all different combinations of us. And we also tour in all different combinations as we play Call of Cthulhu all over the country.
Yes.
Which is freaking
so
awesome.
Excited.
So depending on when this airs or when you hear it, go to glasscannonnetwork.com/tour and you might be able to catch any combo of us on this show or other shows at the different venues around the country. And it's a blast whenever we do it.
So excited.
Go check that out. Come see us live. Pumped. All right. Let's return to the story. Let's pick it up today by looking at the map of Poland. A brief recap from the beginning of our travels. You guys started in two separate groups outside of Tomaszów Lubelski and have since traveled up the road to Zamość, west to Biłgoraj through the road you avoided the road near Janów Lubelski and then worked your way down here and across the San River to now be on the south of that river heading toward Leżajsk, where you believe that a criminal gang, an organized crime family called the Selensky Group, is holding families prisoner, putting children into labor camps, exerting some sort of control over this town, and you want to liberate them. But before you can, along the way, you run into some local Poles. You end up having a firefight with them because of a misunderstanding of who's on whose side. Eventually, you quell that, but not before damage is done on both sides. Dade is recovering from a bad wound to his neck. Major Lime, who was shot in the body armor but was protected by it, still ended up having some damage. And you guys laid low for a couple days in our last episode and used that time to heal and recover. Dade got a bad fever as he fought off infection, but then using some antibiotics, he got over it. And you headed off and headed south over the bridge into, I forget what they call these lands here, but you're in this area just north of Rzeszów, which is a large city in Poland, heading toward a smaller town of Leżajsk. But as you were on the road, I pulled a random encounter card, and on that random encounter card, there is a derelict bus is what you see so far from a distance. You stopped your car, you looked ahead through Major Lime's sniper scope, and I said you saw a broken down, beat up bus, no wheels, a shattered front window, and at least at the moment, no sign of any people. And we'll pick it up right there where we left off with you, Lime, as we see your eye pull away from the scope. What are you thinking? What are you saying? What are you doing?
I pull my eye away. So it's like, well, we've got a wrecked school bus up there. Could possibly be some salvage to be had, but it's a risk. I don't see any signs of movement.
I think that we need to be taking every opportunity to find supplies, parts. And Hannah is also thinking maybe they could repair this bus and give it to Anton and his people. She's not saying that yet.
Yeah, from the description, it sounds like it may be beyond hope as far as that goes, but perhaps there are some parts we can come away with. If you'd like to approach, I can cover you.
Okay. She'll approach.
Do you want to approach on foot?
Yeah, right? We don't want to have like a big...
You're like a kilometer away right now.
Okay. You're
very far. You saw this sort of form in the distance, and to be uber safe, you guys stopped and scoped it out. This is what he sees from a far, very far away.
Yeah.
Tell me how you approach.
Hannah flips out of the bed of the truck with her rifle in her hand, and she will commando jog stealth up to the bus to check it out.
So you're jogging a kilometer away from everybody.
Well,
up to the truck and leaving the car there just sitting on the road, turning the engine off.
Geez, okay, Joe. It sounds like a bad idea when you say it like that.
No, I'm just clarifying.
Yes, I am. God damn it.
Let me
a kilometer
get us a
is not
closer.
That far.
Yeah, 1K?
Is it?
1K?
Just clarifying.
I can do 1K in my fucking sleep. And I feel like, you know, getting a half a kilometer up, I might be able to tell more. Or, you know, I'm keeping an eye on it, and I'm keeping hidden. I'm keeping out of sight.
I'm going to close with her for part of the way to get within the effective range of the Dragunov and then set up a firing position.
All right. So Lime and Hanna, who were in the flatbed back of the truck, hop out of the back, say, keep the truck here, and start hiking down toward this bus at a certain point within range.
And if they say it's okay, we'll drive up.
Within range of the sniper rifle, Lime kind of comes off the road, maybe hunkers down belly flat onto the ground and sets up a bipod and a sniper rifle position overlooking Hanna. So we'll consider you on overwatch overwatch on the location. And Hanna, you get closer. As you come up closer, you still see no movement. And you see that the bus is beyond any potential repair for your allies, as the wheels are gone and the exposed axles are rusted out and torn up. And, you know, you'd have to find the wheels, the tires, all that kind of stuff. So it seems like that's not likely. Also, you get this sense, maybe from a distance, you can kind of see there's some fabric inside of the bus.
Hanging is like blackout curtains.
There's somebody living in there.
There's someone like living in there.
Let's kill them for their water.
Okay, so it's someone's home. I'm going to head back to Lime and confer with Lime. This is someone's home. Do we really want to disturb them?
Is or was.
I feel like I'm invading someone's house, but we do need every bit of supplies we can get.
Perhaps I'd be willing to trade if they have something we need.
Okay. Stay on overwatch. And I will jog back up toward the bus, and with Lime on overwatch, I will kind of listen very closely, look very closely, see if I can detect any movement here, anything inside, any kind of activity whatsoever, Joe.
Okay. You do not.
Then
it's
I
all
will
very
now,
still and very quiet.
I'll come out of the bushes and go, "Hello? Is anyone there?"
There.
Voice kind of echoes back at you for a second.
Okay.
I'm going
to jog up to the bus carefully, gun drawn, and I'm going to get up to the door and kind of look in.
You peek in, and in fact, you do see some seats removed. You see some fabric covering windows and some almost kind of like tentish looking supplies inside. Does seem like somebody might have been living here. But they didn't respond when you called out.
Okay. Am I able to see the length of the bus? Am I able to kind of now look and see what's
inside
the bus?
Not if you just poke your head in the door. You got to walk up the steps and into the bus.
Walking up the steps and into the bus with my gun drawn.
So we see her walk up and in, looking down the long corridor of this thing. And there's sort of random just junk and stuff all over the place that seems to be the evidence of someone that's squatting here for some time and having moved on. The broken front window is like a breeze is coming through. Like they never like closed that up or patched it. It seems like the door was wide open. You know, it feels like maybe it's abandoned.
Okay.
But there might be some supplies here.
And there's no blind corners, places to hide. Yeah, there's nothing.
There's no places for a person to hide. No, it's like you can see through to the back of the bus, but there's just stuff around, but nothing anybody could hide behind. It's not that much stuff.
Okay, I kind of wave out at Lime like a kind of an all clear kind of a sign language. And then I'm going to take a quick inventory and see if there's anything useful here.
Okay, you see Hannah walk up the aisle, start kind of rooting through the stuff, and you see there's not really food, there's not really water, but you see some, like, metal components and parts that could actually, you think, be repurposed, especially when you have somebody as clever as Zofia, into something, you know, that could be useful. Bam! And as soon as you grab one of these pieces As soon as you're rooting through this stuff, wham! Right at your ankle, a snake just bites out of your leg. Snake. Oh, a snake. God.
I don't remember saying I was rooting.
Looking through. Okay, you never
touch
anything.
I took an
anything.
Inventory.
As you were writing in your ledger, a snake bit your ankle.
Oh my god!
Did it bite my ankle though?
It still has to roll to hit. So we will see if it actually successfully bit.
Deer, snakes. It's Wild Kingdom out here.
Sheesh!
Deer, snakes.
Snake.
What else?
What else is there?
Oh my god, Jared! Two successes.
God, oh, no. Fucking damn it.
I rolled a 10 on a D10. Absolutely
fucking
brutal.
A snake.
From a snake.
A snake.
Dude, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. You take 2 damage.
I keep getting attacked by animals.
Bam! And it latches onto your ankle. What is Hannah doing in this moment? Ah! It latches onto your ankle.
She screams. And she reaches down and she catches herself before she acts rashly.
Okay.
She knows nothing about animals. She knows nothing about snakes. But some instinct tells her to be careful in how you remove it.
Okay.
So she gets a firm grip on its neck.
Mm-hmm.
And not squeezing, but like a firm grip, and she tries to extricate the fangs from her ankle or calf carefully.
Do you have a knife?
No, Dade has the knife. And I only borrow it when I'm cutting the necks of Soviets.
Good point. Okay, she reaches down, but hesitates for a second as the snake is kind of like latched on. But she you know what? You got to roll for this. I don't even know if you're
really
going to get a grip on this thing. So yeah, give me a close combat roll.
Close combat with a snake.
With a snake.
Do I get plus a million because it's a tiny snake?
I mean, I might even give you a penalty because it's such a wily little wild creature. It might be hard to grab.
They're hard
it
to
might
fight.
Be a penalty. This fucking game.
Snake.
Snake. Snake.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Okay. Your success in close combat, you are able to grab it and safely, you feel, get it off of you. And it's, you know, its mouth is wide open and its back part is thrashing around and it is a viper. It's
a viper. Viper.
A viper.
A Polish viper?
Polish viper. And it's like, it's tail is thrashing around, and it is, because of your grip on it, unable to attack you again. What do you do?
Okay, smash its head till it dies.
Okay, it has one hit capacity, so very quickly at the count, I can bam, 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 and kill the snake.
Maybe Dade or someone will know something if I've been poisoned. I don't think that she really knows anything about this. And then she will quickly scoop up the useful parts and limp out of the bus.
Okay. All right, then let's talk about it. So if only you are going to go into that bus and look for supplies, that's one scrounging role. Or you can, you know, wait for help and get multiple people to do it. Up to you. And the injury. Yes, you. I think Hana would be concerned that she might be poisoned from a snake.
Well, let me pause my character for a moment. I mean, I believe it would have been possible for Lime to hear my scream.
Right? Yeah, I think if you were like for sure.
I didn't want to interrupt, but when she gave me the all clear, I was meaning to close, go up to the bus to join her.
All right, yeah. So we can say at the time of the bite, you are right there, like right at the door of the bus, basically, by that point, because she was taking an inventory for a little bit as you were making your way there. So do you still have the Dragunov in your hands?
No, I'd slung it. When I get close to the bus, I sling the Dragunov over my back and I drew my pistol. So by the time I get up there, like I have pistol in hand, like I hear her cry out and I come in just like
come with the pistol and you just see her smashing the head of a snake against the metal side of the bus. Clang, clang, clang. And she seems to have killed it.
Okay. Yeah. So I come up and just like, well, that's quite a feat, getting bit by a poisonous snake in Central Europe. Hold the thing up by its tail and I tuck it into my belt to eat later and say, let me take a look at that. I want to take a look at her ankle where it bit her.
Yeah. She'll pull her pants up so he can see.
Okay. You look and it is a grisly bite that seems to have done a great deal of damage. That's how the two successes are represented. And you can see this kind of bubbling froth kind of on the edge of it. It's very concerning. Froth. It seems like it's probably poison.
Yeah, okay.
Let's so pissed. This is great.
Well, first I'm driving and there's deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of nature is conspiring against you.
I think Dade should look at this now.
Yeah, stay still. Like he tries to guide her into, if there's a seat remaining in the bus, it's just like, stay here, try not to move. And I'll run outside and like flag down the truck, tell them to come up to the bus in the truck.
Lime's waving us down. I think it's safe.
Yeah.
You see some urgency to the way that he does it.
Like, seems hurry. A little. Yeah.
Oh, something is wrong. Oh,
yeah. Put some pepper on it.
Yeah, yeah. She'll gun it.
And the pickup truck pulls up and screeches to a halt out next to the bus. What do you say?
Yeah, I think I'm in the shotgun and still feeling the effects, but I'm still a little like woozy.
Yeah.
But I kind of pop open the door. I've got my AK. I'm like, everything all right in there?
I don't suppose you have any anti-venom in that medical kit of yours.
What?
She's been bitten by a European viper, if you can believe it.
Viper?
Come, take a look.
Lordy, I didn't even think they had those out here. And
a full-on viper. I've just Googled it. It's the European adder.
Yeah, European adder. Poland's only native venomous snake. And luck.
I found it.
You found it.
And I'll come into the bus and take a gander at this wound.
She looks at you and she says, "It looks pretty bad."
Yeah, he got you all right. He got you deep.
Okay, so I mean, you wash out the wound, right? I'm fine, right. You know?
I can already see some, I mean, there's some swelling and bruising.
Yeah, but yeah, it's not like in the blood yet, right? We just wash it out, right?
No, that's not how this is treated. I mean, the best case, you'd want like an anti-venom serum.
Okay, well, we don't have that, Dade. We don't have an anti-venom serum, okay?
Right.
So what's after that? What do you do if you don't have
some
that?
Sort of a tetanus prophylaxis if you were for a puncture wound?
Yeah, we don't have tetanus. We don't have that.
I know. You don't have to tell me what I don't have. All right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right.
Okay.
All
right. So Lyme. So who knows about the snake? Is it? Is it going to go to my heart or something?
And I think, I mean, I Ross now kind of know a little bit about what happens to the snake because I just read about it. But I don't know if it's safe to say that Dade knows.
An intelligence? Can you do a straight intelligence roll in this game?
Yeah, why don't I try
Dade
that?
Saw snakes back in. Oh,
I've seen plenty of snakes. But rattlers, not the European water moccasins. Maybe this is like a survival roll.
Maybe.
Or just a street intelligence.
I don't think you have to roll. You can know whatever you want to know. What do you want to know?
I think. Look, if this is like a viper, I mean, I don't. Look, it's going to be painful, and there'll be pain. You might experience some. The venom. You might experience some diarrhea, vomiting.
Diarrhea.
Put you out of commission for a little while. But without a anti-venom serum.
So it won't kill me.
I don't think this will kill you.
Okay, fuck it, let's go. And I get up, and I gather my shit, and I start limping toward the truck.
Can I do like a medical aid to do some just like field first aid on this thing? If that'll mechanically help in any way?
Yeah.
Let me take a closer look.
If she'll allow it, and I will say that, you know, if you roll a successful medical aid here, you're going to... Part of it, I think, is Dade going to be trying to do his best to get what venom he can out of there before it works its course too deep. And so, yeah, successful medical aid here would be huge. Without it, could be very problematic. You can use your medical part, or you have those personal med kits still. So personal med kit, you can get a plus one. You have one medical part, so I think you guys already kind of role-played that it's not anti-venom. So I would say it's probably not anti-venom.
I've got one medical part and two med kits, so these are going like going through our hands like sand. Okay.
She's furious, so she's, you know, throwing her stuff down again, and she'll, you know, plop down again and, like, give you access to her leg.
Okay, I'm going to use a med kit.
Get yourself plus one on that roll.
Give myself plus one on this roll.
It's a big roll here for Hana.
Now, this is a big roll because if you succeed, I won't have diarrhea.
That's right.
It's
very important.
And no one wants that.
No one wants that.
Crippling diarrhea. No. Here we go.
I've actually never played a game where your character was in danger of diarrhea. So
I mean, in any game that Troy runs, that's always a danger.
that is something implicitly that you might encounter.
All right.
But... I think we do need to use a ration of water for this because we do have to clean the wound. So I think that's tough because
we only had one ration for each of us.
Right. So that's the first. The next Somebody thing would have to get left out. Find more water.
So take mine. So take my water.
All right. All right.
So you take her canteen and like pour it over. Wash your the wound.
Here comes the roll. I bend down, looking down at the snake bite.
I can't believe the luck on these rolls. It's insane.
Failed, but no natural one.
I roll so consistently poorly.
Crazy.
Okay, here we go. Okay, there we go. There we go. One success. Ooh. One success.
One success and no addition, no stress. No natural one on the other die. Well done, Dade. You are able to... You use your personal med kit for the bonus. You were rolling a D10 and a D12 there. That was a really good chance to roll a 6. And you fail on the first one, but get it on the push. And you are able to clear up and wrap the wound.
I cut a little X right on it, and I suck all the pison out. Kind of spit it out like like Rooster Cogburn at the end of True Grit. And wrap you up.
Okay, well done. And Jared, you are clear from poisoning, so you're going to be fine.
Okay,
you just need to track the your hit capacity. So you're at two already, and
I have three more spaces.
Clear up when you rest.
Okay, and you know, stool, regular, and solid.
Great. Good.
So that's far, so far. I mean, there might be a there might be a touch of diarrhea. Let's not write it completely off. You're not going to die from it. We'll say that much.
She was really afraid that it was like a cobra and it was going to go to her heart and she was going to die. Yeah. And she doesn't like to be afraid in front of other people. So instead she acts angry.
Yeah.
So she's actually being kind of an asshole as she gets her stuff back in the truck. Even though Dade just fucking cleaned up her leg and helped her out, she's not saying thank you. And she's just kind of getting
pissed,
getting back on the road.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I'm trying to talk to her and say, like, you have to keep your heart rate down. You shouldn't even be moving. Like, he doesn't even want to let her walk to the truck. He wants to carry her to the truck.
You want to what?
Well, you really should stay off that leg until this is resolved.
I don't know, you know, English people carry each other if they get bit or something, but I'm not doing that. Okay? Thank you. And she limps back to the truck.
All right.
I do recommend that you
limp back, shaking his head.
Zophie's gonna like look at Lime and them and just be like,
don't bother.
Just let it go. Sorry, go ahead, Ross.
So is the snake still loose in the bus?
No, I have the snake.
Oh, we got some delicious snake meat. Don't worry.
Right, you've got the snake.
Yeah,
you got the wonderful
fucking soup.
Snake jerky.
That's a half a ration right there.
No. Ooh, them's good vittles. And but I'm going to I kind of want to complete the task that Hanya was up to and do a once over of this bus, provided I don't
Okay.
Looking
Great.
Extra
so
carefully
can
to make sure there's not a bunch of little like copperheads in here.
Oh, we're having a good time.
Bang, you get bit by 10 baby snakes.
No.
She was a mother.
A large spider descends from the ceiling.
It's like black widows hanging from the ceiling in great abundance.
A clutch of Gila monsters falls on your head out of an overhead shot.
Okay. You're scrounging through and okay. Sorry, just looking up something here that I'd like to yeah, amazing. I love this. Okay, so there's two roles that can happen here. You can scrounge here for general parts, and then also Zofia, you could do a tech
can I
roll
dig around
for vehicle
in the engine?
Parts if you want to salvage some stuff off of the bus itself, if there's anything salvageable. So let's start with a scrounging roll, and Dade, you can give yourself a plus +3 to this roll. It's plus +1 for Lime, awesome. And plus +2 for the bus itself, because it's got stuff in here. So,
oh, nice. Okay. So this is a recon roll, plus +3. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. Your survival roll plus +3.
Not recon, survival. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, survival.
Thank you. Okay, survival plus +3. Here we go.
Nice.
Success.
Nice.
Got a success. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Awesome. You come away with one general part. And obviously that can be used for a lot of different things. We'll come up with that as we go. And then also now you can salvage at the bus if you'd like.
Oh, we don't have any general parts yet. So I will add
one. Oh, we
one.
Don't? I thought we had some.
No, we had two vehicle parts. We had one electronic part. We had medical parts and weapon parts, but no general parts.
What's a general part? It can be used to fix anything, like a, like I'm like, I need to fix this doorknob. Give me a general
machine.
Part.
Yeah, you know, I think we just got to be creative with it and figure it out as it comes. I don't exactly remember off the top of my head. Oh, here we go. General spare part needed to repair an inoperable mechanical item that is not a weapon or a vehicle can also be used to jury rig items.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that you can use Hana, for example, I think that you can use one general part plus some explosive material to create munitions, like to make bombs. Ooh. Which you have a specialty for that. You have
improvised munitions.
So like, for example, if you used a general part for that, I could give you another bonus to the roll.
Yeah, you could make a mine.
Some hot jazzy licks.
Hey, you guys, just try to follow along with what I'm doing here.
Watch me for the changes.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Go ahead and give me that tech roll, Zofia.
Da, 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 da.
Whoa.
Two successes!
I mean, nice. Huge. Two successes, two vehicle parts.
Let's go.
Nice.
That you can load into your truck. Okay, awesome. That's it. That was the random encounter. So, well done.
That was the snake bus encounter.
That was the snake bus encounter. Classic.
The snake bus.
Yeah, I always say every game a Twilight 2000 is going to have a snake bus.
Gotta have a snake bus, bro.
In fact, Skid, you have the original snake bus source book.
Yeah, there was. Snakes of Central Europe. That was one of the big source books.
Look,
the second, it was second edition, right? It was second edition they had snakes of Central Europe?
Yeah, first edition, yeah. There was no
I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but I'm speaking only for myself here. I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes.
I know.
I'm this motherfucking bus.
Motherfucking bus. I mean, I know. One was enough.
You guys know the TBS censored version was, I am sick of these monkey frying snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Yeah, even better.
Not good. I love that.
That's good.
I think my favorite one of those is, I think it's Mallrats. Mallrats, the DVD of which we have in our inventory.
In the truck.
Yeah.
I think there's something line, if he was an ice cream flavor, he'd be pralines and dick. And in the TV edit, it's, if he was an ice cream, he'd be Jamocha almond idiot.
That's really good.
Which I think is better. A better chance. Yeah.
That is better.
Neither movie hurt one bit by those changes. truly. All right, let's drive south.
Yeah, so it is May 9th. Is that correct, Mary Lou? Is it May 9th?
It is still May 9th. It is
May 9th. Shift. It is a sunny day. It is, you know, getting warmer. It's spring. It's May. It's, you know, nice outside. And, you know, despite that sort of ominous glow that you catch sometimes near the edges of the horizon, and it is mid afternoon now, and you're continuing on. Show me where you want to go on the map. You are one hex south of the San River. Lejeis is 30 kilometers to your southeast.
Feels like south one hex on the highway.
Yeah.
And then we begin heading east, southeast toward Lejeis.
I agree. In the interior.
I agree. So we can at least get the benefit of the road for one more hex.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so give me two hexes here, and, well, I guess you already did the driving roll for this shift. We're still in the
shift. I already did the driving roll.
Yeah, that was last week, but we'll keep it for this shift. Now you're going to go off-road.
Yeah.
And so you're still on roads, remember, but you're on smaller roads that maybe are not as forgiving and might be a little beat up and unkempt. There's probably, like, beat up and derelict cars and stuff on some of these roads. You have to drive around. So you're trying to avoid any damage to your car with these driving rolls, but you're also using more fuel because you're going slower and having to maneuver around. You know, we always have to assume that there's like breaks in the road, that there's potholes that are so big you got to drive around them, right? And so,
can I ask a question? So Lejeis looks pretty small on the map. Do I know anything about it? Does Hana know anything about Lejeis?
Yes, I would say know. Yeah, I think that's good. I think as you're driving along, maybe you could share some stuff about Lejeis. It's, I mean, I don't know a lot about it. But what I'll tell you is, I think you know that it is a small town. It is sort of famous for... it has an amazing basilica, an amazing church that was blessed by the Pope because it was the site of an apparition of the Virgin Mary. So that's kind of a big deal.
Huge.
It is the... Yeah, I mean, there's not that much remarkable about it. I'd say that there's a big factory there that makes... I mean, this is from online. There's a big factory there that makes cement trucks. And otherwise, but it's got a nice little town square. Its population, I'm not sure what it was in the 90s. I know now it's in like the tens of thousands, 10,000-ish.
Wait, just tell me again.
Is it a big enough town to be in your little book?
It is not.
It's on Wikipedia, but you said that they saw the Virgin Mary there? Is that what you said?
Yes, they saw the Virgin Mary there in the 1500s. And
okay, so that's the only thing Hannah remembers.
On that site. Yeah.
That's the only thing Hannah remembers. So she's in the back of the bed of the truck with Lime, and she's like, les gens, you know, they saw the Virgin Mary in Lejeisk.
Yeah, I think with my historian's specialty, I think I probably have heard that too.
Our Lady of Lejeis. And then they built a church there, which over the years, and you might know this line, which over the years was eventually built into a really beautiful Gothic cathedral, and then was, I believe it was like in the 1700s maybe, was blessed by the Pope as a site of special spiritual significance. Hmm. So then it changes its name to a basilica and not just a church. And so, yeah, it's kind of a destination. It's a Catholic destination place for people in Poland or in Eastern Europe to visit. That's all you know about it. You don't know about it. You don't know about crime there. You don't know about a crime family being there. You don't know anything about that.
Okay.
And you can continue on if you like.
We actually crossed into a hex of a new terrain type. So I do need to do another driving roll.
Yes, you're right. You're off the road now. So it is a new
driving
roll.
And we're in forest. So I
and you used four rations of fuel, remember, to go into that hex. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
Great.
So here's my driving roll. I do not get any ooh, do I get a minus one? No. Yes? Hold on. I have this in my notes. I know I get plus three when you're on a road, but...
This is open. You get plus one. I mean... No, you know what? It's partially forest and partially woods and partially open. So I'm going to say no bonus because woods is minus one. Open is plus one. So I think they even each other out in this hex and it is straight roll, straight driving roll.
Here it goes.
A fail.
No successes. I'm going to
push.
Why not?
Push the roll.
There we go.
Success.
There we go. One success.
Driving mishap. Awesome.
Okay. And then
you can continue on for another four.
So our last hex, our last four gallons into Lejeis. Just for the record,
are we almost at the end of our gas?
No, we are about halfway.
Okay.
So you got a full tank, really, in like the first... No, you got a full tank at the supermarket. So is this the second or third episode?
Mm-hmm. We have 58 out of 99.
And you rolled amazingly on that and ended up getting a full tank of gas. Well, now you're at half a tank. So that's another thing you've got to be looking out for, scrounging for, et cetera. So pretty awesome. Okay. As you're approaching, you are on this road that is narrowed. And there are trees on either side of the road. Obviously, something you're seeing a lot in this part of the country. these country-ish kind of roads, but this one is pretty straight. However, it's rising and falling. You're going kind of like uphills and downhills, and maybe you're maybe Zofia's doing her trick where she throws it into neutral sometimes to save on the gas and roll it down a hill and then up as far as she can before she has to change gears and push the gas again. And you come to one rise where you start to come up the hill, and just as you get to the top of it, you see in the distance out ahead of you, over the tree line, which is obscuring some of the road as it goes down and like curves very slightly, over the tree line, you see smoke rising up only within a kilometer or two of your direction that you're heading right now. And you are still several kilometers outside of Legeis. And, or Legeis. And let's take a break. Take a quick break. Smoke is rising. What do you do? Think about it! You've got 60 seconds.
Smoke on the tree line.
Snakes in the bus.
I'm Ann Foster, and I have never watched the show Spartacus, Blood and Sand.
And I'm Gina Barry, and I've watched this show numerous times.
On our new podcast, Nefer TV, we discuss TV shows and movies set in ancient history. This season, we are discussing Spartacus, Blood and Sand.
Follow Nefer TV, that's N-E-F-E-R TV, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, please, not that music. That music gives me nightmares from my childhood.
Could we get something a little bit lighter? Some lighter music here.
Are you a fan of true crime TV shows?
And what about Unsolved Mysteries, the show that jump-started all of our love of true crime?
I'm Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Joey Taranto.
And we host I Think Not, a true crime comedy podcast covering some of the wildest stories from your favorite true crime campy TV shows all the way to Unsolved Mysteries.
Baby, you will laugh, you will cry, you'll think about true crime in a whole new way, and you'll also ask yourself, who gave these people mics?
New episodes of I Think Not are released every Wednesday with bonus episodes out every Thursday on Patreon.
And every Monday, you can listen to our True Crime Run Down, where we go over the top true crime headlines of the week.
So come and join us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Melissa, and this is Moms and Mysteries.
We're two Florida moms obsessed with true crime. From infamous cases like Ellen Greenberg to shocking Florida stories like the Dan Markell killing.
With 55 million downloads, we bring you new deep dives every Tuesday and Thursday.
Listen to Moms and Mysteries on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Zofia pulls the truck up this hill, and as you get to the crest of it, you see a line of smoke rising up from the trees, a sort of whitish, light-colored smoke.
Oh, I was going to ask. Up. Yeah. You can tell a lot about a fire by the color of its smoke.
Oh, they picked a new pope.
Oh, good. That's nice.
And what do you do? Tell me what you do.
Okay. We cannot see the source of it, right?
You cannot see the source of it, no. But it's not far. It feels like it's within a kilometer or two.
If I'm up there in the cab with you, mm-hmm. am I like, oh, shoot, is this some... I mean, is that coming from the bullet factory? Or maybe now we should cut off the road like we done last time and hike in to keep a low profile. There might be Soviets coming both ways on this road.
I think that is a good idea. We know that they are selling to the Soviets. So they could be traveling on this road.
And she'll put it in park and yell back to the cab. What do we think about driving off the road to hike in?
Yeah.
Or should we get closer?
Yeah. Yeah, take the truck off.
Okay. I think I want to get closer, but off the road. If that makes sense.
Yeah, you can't. Because it's all trees, like on either side.
It's just trees. Okay.
Yeah. And the road is pretty straight. Like it has like these slight bends, and that's why like it's kind of like going downhill to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of disappears a little bit around some trees. Just a slight bend enough, and the smoke is coming from right up there. You have
okay,
a good
along
vantage.
The road. It is along. Not like smoke from the town.
It yeah, seems we definitely like, oh, need it to pull not the smoke truck from the town.
Oh, I thought it was the town. Okay. I'm sorry.
You are not in the town
on
yet.
The road ahead.
No, it's on the road.
Okay.
So we need to pull the truck away. Over and then go and scout it out.
It's a kilometer or two away, and based on your reading of the map, you're roughly 4 kilometers from Leje.
I don't want to hike too far because I know we're going downhill. This is probably me overthinking it. I don't want us to have to run uphill to the truck if we need to
escape.
That's
the least of our worries. There are snakes.
I want to get a little closer.
Everywhere. Yeah.
I just want to get a little closer in the truck until maybe.
You almost got a spit take out of me, Logan. There are snakes everywhere.
I want to get a little closer until we're at least maybe a little less than a kilometer away from whatever the source we think is of this smoke. Can we do that?
Sounds good.
Okay. So I'm going to pull it slowly, less than a kilometer, till maybe we're like 3/4 of a kilometer away.
You come down the hill.
Yeah.
And you come around the edge of the road, and then it straightens right after this little bend, and roughly a kilometer of straight shot in front of you. And at that moment, you can see very clearly out in front, not very clearly, it's a kilometer away, but you see there is something large blocking the road. There is smoke rising up near it. It looks to you, it's a kilometer away, but it looks to you like a roadblock.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And you are in sight of it, and it is in sight of you.
Mm. Oh, reverse.
But at least reverse. We won't have to run uphill.
Oh, man. Ice cold, Logan. Ice cold.
Reverse. Is it too late to reverse?
You can reverse. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can absolutely reverse.
Okay. I'm reversing back around the bend. Okay. Did we all see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
We shouldn't have gone closer. They may have seen us. Now we have to get more distance before we hide the truck.
Attack. All right. You are right. I'm sorry. I'll pull into the trees and try and find the densest foliage I can in between us and that roadblock, or us and the road.
I mean, I'm inclined to say we need to drive a couple kilometers before we hide the truck.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Going a couple kilometers means leaving the hex. Just letting you know. You are in this hex. This is the start of this hex now. So you would be going back out of this hex to drive further away.
We are
at
begin hex.
Yeah.
We got to leave the damn hex.
Yeah, I don't think we should be storing the truck in this hex anyway.
I agree.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe we should go to this hex here.
I think we go to the hex we know.
Southwest of Lushice. Oh, the hex we know.
Yeah, I mean, we know you it. You know,
yeah, I apologize. You kind of have to go back the way you came right now.
All right, I don't think that's a bad idea. I think that's fine. Okay, can I spend maybe not the full 4 gallons of gas going back? Maybe only 2 because we're not going back all the way.
Yep.
Or
that works for me. That's fair.
Or one gallon.
Oh my god, I love the rules of this game. There is a passage for grenade fishing.
What?
So if anybody is interested in grenade fishing, just let me know.
I don't even know what that is, dude.
Oh, fishing with grenades?
Yeah, you throw a grenade into a pond, and it, all of the fish die from the concussive blast, and they float to the top. Mm, and then you just collect
cruel.
All the fish. You can do it in in Zelda.
Can you do it to snakes? Let's walk. I think maybe we went like 4 kilometers away or something like that, right? And now let's walk into Lejeisk through the woods quietly, scouting. Does everybody want to go, or does some people want to be like camp truck? We should probably all go, right?
We should probably all go. I mean, if we're going deep into the, if the plan is to go deep into the city, I think we all got to go through snake.
I think
country.
We go, but I think there's some things we leave in the truck. We leave the cook pot. Maybe that's it.
We leave the general part. No, we bring it.
Forgive me. I'm just trying to, keep up with these kind of shifts here. So permit me a second to go back in time a little bit. You back up, you go back up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Then you decide that you want to leave the hex, that you're going to turn around and leave the hex, and you're going to drive a few kilometers back the way you came.
Yes.
Hide the truck. Mm-hmm. And then hike back in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. As you are leaving and starting to drive away the way you came over one of those hills that you have like previously passed.
No.
You, those of you in the back of the cab can see in the distance a small figure sort of like rising over the hill behind you.
Motorcycle.
And there seems to be a motorcycle rider.
A motorcycle rider is coming from Lejeisk and from the roadblock.
Mm-hmm. Following.
Okay. And we're not very far away yet.
And I think it's Hannah and Lime are in the back of the truck. Yeah, I'd say you've gotten a full kilometer away before in the distance you can see like someone appears to be tailing you.
There's a rider. Let's hide now.
Okay.
Hide it now.
Yeah.
I want to take a look if with my scope, see if I can see any detail.
Okay. It's a little tough, you know, at a kilometer with the moving truck, it's a little bit hard to zero in on finer details, but you see what looks like a man on a dirt bike, and you see a weapon is strapped to his back. Looks like an assault rifle.
Throw out that piercing chain.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to, but I really think we should just hide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let him pass.
We do have that spike strip, but yeah, we don't know. These could be Polish people. We don't want to make the same mistake that the ambushers did.
These are
probably Soviets or Zelenskys.
These are Zelenskys. This is a Zelensky guard sentry who was posted at that road. That's my assumption.
Yeah,
but I think we want them to not really know anything about us, and I don't want to start taking out their guys from square one.
No, you're right.
I don't know if Lime disagrees, but that's what Hannah's take would be.
Yeah, rather not have an encounter with one of them before we get closer to our objective, if we could avoid it.
I want to pull
off the
road.
Unless we can take them out without their compatriots finding out.
I want to pull off the road and find the densest foliage that I can in between us and the road to try and hide the truck. I know it's time sensitive, but
okay,
that's what I'm
going to try and do. Give me a recon roll. As you're driving along and this thing is following you, it doesn't seem to be gaining very much. It's sort of in the distance behind you.
Three successes.
Nice.
Three successes. Okay. You find a spot that looks good to you and dip off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go into great detail about exactly what it is, but you find a spot that you think a turnoff that is hidden for the moment and enough to get you into a maybe curving into like a farm or something and then out to another thing. All these things are kind of like derelict now and abandoned, but you find your way around into a place to kind of hide, and you don't see the bike and you don't see the motorcycle.
It does not drive by.
And you wait for a bit. Nope. You know, you wait for a bit. No sign of anything. Maybe in the quiet, once your truck stops, you can hear in the distance. And then it slowly fades and then goes away. Seemingly back the way it came, at least from what you can tell via audio.
Okay, so he had another destination. He wasn't following us, or he decided, you know, we were not a threat or that interesting. This is good, right?
It is good what happened, but the implications of this roadblock, the Selinskis, they have no scruples, no morals. They are probably shaking down anyone on that road.
And they got all the entry points locked up pretty damn tight.
So we
and they have fuel. If they have these bikes.
Yeah. We need to have conversation about how we are going to handle the Selinskis, right? So the way we worked in the resistance is we get good intel about what's going on, and then we just pick at them, right? Take out the man here, take out the man there, right? Take out the vehicle, you know, and then eventually you cripple the operation, and then maybe we can get in and help the families. So maybe we find a base of operations, someplace, a good hiding place nearby. We go in, we scout what's going on. We do not engage at first. Then once we have intel, we start picking at them. You know?
Heck.
What you're talking about sounds like weeks. Yeah.
I guess I... You have somewhere else to be, Dade? This is why we're here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is why we're here.
You have your radio now, if you want to hear American voices.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. I mean, I'll keep at it, I suppose. Yeah.
I'm sure we can get there someday.
And I think, yeah, you're... Maybe you're seeing how, just how kind of like day it has been living, like in the present, one day at a time, and like it's like this mission that I've kind of stumbled into, that I've been absorbed into. It was Operation Find Carpenter. We found Carpenter, and now suddenly we're involved in this kind of commando raid. I was advocating for trying to go back to meet the Americans, and I was overruled.
NATO.
And I think it's becoming increasingly clear to him that, like, home and return is receding further and further into the distance. And like, all right, yeah, that's why we're here. That's why we're here.
So I say we find a house or a factory somewhere on the outskirts of Lezaysk, where we can set up shop, right? We do some scrounging, make sure we're set for food and water. And then we plan to go in and take a look at things.
This is smart. Yes. Yes.
Sound all right to you, Major Lime?
Well, my only concern is water. And if we're forced into a position where we're scrounging for water in the near vicinity of our foe, it increases the chance that we'll stumble across one of them while we're trying to do so. I think we should find some water first before we embark on this mission.
This is smart. Yes, we are in forest. Trees means water. So, searching here before we go closer into the city... This is smart.
All right. We'll get ourselves set up.
Yeah, shall we use this last shift of daylight to forage for water, and then a few hours of the nighttime getting closer and finding a place to sleep before we, you know, moving even closer in the morning?
Yeah, if you have time to do it.
Okay, let's start with the you're going to forge near the truck,
like,
right?
But I always like, we spend like a little time coming up with what we think is like a super logical, like, you know, step-by-step plan. And Joe, I watched Joe's face go, okay.
No. No, I'm just trying to clarify that, well, everything was fine until you just said like, and then we'll go closer tonight and then find a place.
Tonight. I think that what Mary Lou is saying,
we're trying to find shelter.
Correct. And in fact, here's what I would like, and the other players can tell me they understand it differently if they'd like. It is not separate from the truck.
Okay.
We're going to scratch for
That's
water,
smarter.
One.
Yeah.
Two, we're going to take the truck someplace where we can park it, and there's a building, and there's a place where we can go in and rest and set up kind of a camp.
In this hex
beside Lezhaisk.
Yeah.
Not the Lezhaisk hex, the hex northwest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you.
Sounds clear.
I'll say you've already done that. You know, that's her three successes to find a place to hide the truck.
Okay,
you mentioned that this was like a peel-off road or like...
Yeah.
Are we like having this conversation
like
right now?
Road.
Just so my imagination. Dirt road. Then you implied that this was like feeding off into like...
A farmhouse.
Or like a Quonset hut or something.
What do we have? Yeah, because in sorry, in my mind, I thought we had the car down in like some trees. You know, like if we've got like a farmhouse or a factory.
Yeah, I'm just trying to save time with your plan. I don't think you need to now roll to find another place to hide the truck and to seek shelter.
Excellent.
I rolled very poorly for you. So you found a place to hide the truck. You find a place that you think you can kind of hole up for a while, but it is a small rancher house that was clearly operating a very small farm, and the house has a hole in the roof and no door on the front of it.
It looks super undesirable. That works.
But it is unoccupied, so you can stay in there, and there are. Obviously, Dade has abilities here that he can use shore up some of this stuff. Right. This is interesting. I did not see this coming. You're talking about like creating a home base, hiking 4 to 6 kilometers each way in and out to like kind of like do your recon and stuff like that.
Like a 3-mile hike.
It's extremely interesting.
Both ways, yeah.
Yeah. And it keeps you, you know, away from that roadblock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not trying to mess with the entire goddamn mob family all at once, you know?
Right.
We're not trying to run and gun through the streets while we're hunted down by the dirt bike goons.
We're running an insurgency here. Yeah,
we're running an insurgency. So now
I think that Zofia knowing this, I think, let me just clarify one other thing. Zofia would know that the Solinsky crime family is massive and covers an entire regional area of Poland and is not based in Lezhaisk.
I didn't mean to imply the entire family was here.
Yeah.
But they've got guards and people with guns and scouts on bikes. So anyway, can we scrounge for water?
Yes, you can. All right, so begin that scrounging process. So go ahead and give me a survival roll. Is everybody dedicating this shift to it?
Yes.
This final shift of the day?
Works for
me. All right, so then it's a +3 to the roll, whoever's rolling it.
I got a D12, D8.
Okay.
That'll give us 2 D12s, right?
Okay.
Two successes, okay. I'm going to roll something on my end. Okay. And you find 5 rations of water. 5 rations.
Day to day.
Of water.
One day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time.
That means we have tomorrow's water. We have tomorrow's water.
Yep.
Now.
You already had today's water.
Mm-hmm.
All tomorrow's
and
water.
So now you've got tomorrow's water.
Well, we were short one because we had to clean
this
wound. So.
Yeah, we are tomorrow short one.
Okay. So We'll say this takes you into the evening. If nobody has any business, you can start talking about your surveillance plan, your plans to start, you know, sort of seeing what's going on here and resting.
Yeah. I think you pegged it in terms of my specialties. I've got that builder specialty that is specific to setting up bases.
Yeah.
And I think I'm ruling that we're like, Data's probably worked construction when he was a teenager or did some kind of manual labor in this way and also learned it a little bit in his military training. So he's already kind of scoping this derelict house out, figuring out ways that might be efficacious to get this thing a little bit more secure.
Great. So I think absence in a success, well, let's just rest here for tonight and then we'll start dealing with it as we move forward. As you rest here, unbeknownst to your characters, all of you are exposed to a rad.
Oh,
so you
shit.
All have a temporary rad right now. And in the morning, you can
That's
all roll.
That's under combat.
Hmm?
That's under combat, just in case you were looking for where your rads are.
Yeah. Your rad's under combat. So, I mean, I'm not 100% sure how to play this, but I'm pretty sure you wouldn't necessarily know. I don't think anybody has.
I don't think we
don't have a Geiger counter.
A Geiger counter yet. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Put that on the shopping list.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I think at night, I think Dave would like to chat with Lime a little bit.
Please.
I mean, it's... Yeah, it ain't the Ritz-Carlton, but it'll do for now.
At least I have a roof over our heads.
Yeah. You know, Major Lime, well, you got the carpenter situation sorted, and we all sort of decided to, you know, stick together on this thing. How long you reckon you're... Are you trying to get back to England?
Well, I've been looking over reports and the limited amounts I have. I don't think there's much of England left. What there is, it's not much better than here. Particularly my home. I want to do some good in this war. What war there is left. And I think my place, at least for now, is here. Now, understand, you are conditioned to listen to me and to take my lead, but I want you to understand that I don't have any expectation of rank over you. You are your own man. Now, you can, if you want to make a decision that's contrary to mine, that is your right.
Well, if I can speak freely as a man, sir, I mean, I don't know what a solitary private is going to be much use to himself out there apart from y'all. I mean, just walking away from y'all and trying to find NATO, that's a death sentence. I ain't just dealing with Soviets and crime syndicates. There's dang old snakes lurking under every rock and bramble. Maybe it was stupid of me, but I thought I was going to be able to go home, and now I don't even know if there's a home to go to or how I could.
Can't what exactly is home? This radio. What exactly is home for you, Private?
Buncombe County, North Carolina. Small town called Meat Camp. used to be a meat camp. I know it's a funny name, but you know, it's out there by Blowing Rock, Las Cruces. My daddy worked as a miner. His daddy was a miner.
Well, I don't know what you'll find if you are able to go home.
We weren't exactly close to what I think you would call civilization.
Well, perhaps it won't be much changed. But
honestly, it reminds me a lot of here. Just rolling hills. Trees as far as the eye can see.
Hmm. There is something familiar to it for me as well. I just think that you should understand not to be under any illusions about what it might take for you to get home from this point.
Yeah. It seems like he's kind of looking at Shalona. Sort of seems like now home is wherever the hell you are. All right, I gotta rest. My shoulder's killing me.
Yeah. And Lime is just like, he's kind of sad because it's got him thinking of home too. It's like, he doesn't know anything about his family or, I mean, he's from London, so he's pretty sure. He probably would have heard that, like, London's been flattened. And that's one of the things that's keeping him from trying to get back, is that he just doesn't want to see it. But it's gotten him thinking about what down the road, like, what might be possible. And, like, Skid, for example, I've always dreamed of sort of following through on the adventure path of the original game, which does take you back to America. Hmm. So, I mean, he's definitely, like, thinking about it.
Very cool.
The possibilities.
Okay. You rest and get up in the morning. You are, unbeknownst to you, exposed to radiation, and you each take a temporary rad, so add that to your sheet.
Another one?
No, the one that I said before. Oh. As I mentioned it, I'm looking here, and it says every time you gain a rad, and I think that counts for temporary. You must immediately roll stamina to resist radiation poisoning. Now, that roll is super, super boosted from what I can read here. It says the virulence of the disease is equal to +4 minus your total rad count. So, does anybody have more than 4 rads?
Permanent rads?
Permanent rads.
I do.
You
Everybody
do?
Else has
before our career together.
That's right.
I sort of walked through a nuked city for a while, nuked countryside.
Ugh. Yeah,
yeah.
I have 2 permanent.
I okay, have so 3.
Okay, so if you have 5, Jared, then you need to make a stamina roll at +3, and the rest. And if you've got 3 rads, you need to make a stamina roll at +5. If you've got 2 rads, it's at +6. So yeah, in these early stages, it's hard to immediately contract full radiation poisoning, but you know, possible.
I succeeded on my roll.
You succeeded on your roll. Okay, great. Everybody else?
Let's see.
You said I have a +5?
+5,
if you
yes.
have 2?
If you have 2 rads, you have a +6.
What if you have 3?
Yes, you did.
Okay, sorry.
You got a 2 with 4 successes, okay, Zofia. Good. And another 2 successes for, is that Lime?
Yeah.
All right, so everybody 3.6
Röntgen. Not great, not terrible.
Not great, not terrible. excellent, well done. So nobody feels any symptoms, but this temporary rad is on your sheet now and it's staying there for the moment.
And I'm going to do the thing where I say, can I heal a stress and a hit capacity from the night's rest as well?
Yes. Okay. Everybody heals great. A stress and a hit capacity for the night's rest.
Thank you.
You got decent rest indoors. I'd say there was a rotating watch and nobody came by. You found a pretty good hiding spot here with those 3 successes on that recon.
Hell yeah. I'm over here learning how to draw radiation symbols out of stress.
and you move on?
I think that now the plan is to hike into Lejeisk, see what's going on there, try to remain unseen. Hana would definitely talk this over with Lime and Zofia and Dade, but yeah, that's the idea. You know, we might see a place closer, you know, in the Lejeisk Hex where it would make sense to, you know, move to, but it's kind of just getting an idea of what's going on in the town before we just kind of come driving in ready to rescue everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to leave your car at this location and hike a good distance away. We're gonna do some details of this off air, but you need to decide what you're taking out of the truck and along with you. Mm-hmm. I think in the past they've been like, you can just take whatever you want, but in this case, you are doing a significant operation here where you're leaving the truck very far behind. I'd like you to kind of decide what you're bringing with you.
Why don't we call this the scout mission? So the idea is to return back to our hiding spot, maybe even tonight, right? Mm-hmm. So in that case, we don't take all of the rations, all of the parts. You know, we take maybe any medical supplies we have and our weapons.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm even going to take the RPG right now because I don't know what my objective would be with it. So
okay. I think that's a good idea. Yeah, I think we stay light and we just take our weapons and like basic tools. I'm gonna take my tools just because I always have my tools. And
okay, I think I have to mention. You guys tell me if you think this is crazy, but I think that it's crazy to think that there isn't a chance someone can just find your car and take all your stuff.
Of course.
So I'm gonna let you know that I'll be rolling dice for every shift you're completely away from your car, that it might get taken.
Do they need to get like four successes though, right?
It'll be a hard hit.
Because we
might have to hotwire it.
I'm thinking some natural ones are in order for that.
Three
to happen,
successes on that hiding place roll.
Yeah. No,
save yourself the work, Joe. And not remember, even bother the hiding doing
place,
that.
Remember, the hiding place role was for the getting away from the roadblock and the guy who was on a bike. Who knows who else is moving through the countryside, right? So it's not just your enemies necessarily that may come across this and not know whose it is. I'm just letting you know that there's going to be random roles that this could happen. And I just feel like from a character standpoint, you would know. You cannot assume everything is going to be fine.
I will say my piece. I will respectfully argue against this. And here's why. We hid the car. We got three successes, right? We found our hiding space, right? Mm-hmm. Then we were like, should we find a really good hiding space? And you were like, you found it. Yeah. So I did not understand. I understood the hiding role with the three successes to have assumed that we are in a very, very good position in terms of exposure. Not that we were just hiding from the dirt bike guy.
Yes, but that is for a camp, essentially. That is for a shift, right? Like, you can't say that forever no one would ever find this truck. It doesn't cover random events occurring around it. It made you safe for that night, for sure. And so
if I use my builder special ability early in the morning to
camouflage,
I mean, it's for building bases. Could that increase the level of safety and security?
No, I think the only thing that would probably work is moving the truck away from the building into woods and completely covering it in like foliage or something.
Yeah, that's
might
the
help.
Thing. It's a building would attract people anyway.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I mean, they would come. And it's hard to hide a whole ass truck.
We just do what Joe kind of suggests and tuck it in the woods.
I think we need to decide, is this merely a scout mission where we are just taking, you know, we're just going to the roadblock, maybe in the roadblock's area just to scope it out, and then we'll come back here to strategize? Or do we want to become a more mobile unit where we camp, you know,
we hide the truck like really well somewhere in the forest, and then we camp and decide, you know, we're out of the truck for now to be a more mobile guerrilla warfare kind of unit so that we can get close to Legeis and not worry about the truck. I think that's what we need to decide.
I think we should take our most valuable stuff with us. Just everything. Everything but the truck we should take with us just in case. If we have the capacity for it, we should take all of our stuff.
The reason I wanted to ditch the truck is I feel like it draws attention, right?
I agree.
And it uses gas, and you have to, you have to travel on roads.
They have roadblocks. Yeah,
they have roadblocks, and you're traveling on roads. You know, it's like so. Yeah, let's take our most valuable stuff.
Okay.
I agree with you. I think it makes a ton of sense. I think it's a really good point. I just think your character, particularly Zofia, I think that you would think when you walked away from your truck for days, you might never see it again. And you have to know that that's possible, is all I'm saying.
If someone steals this truck, the game becomes Operation Murder Truck Thief.
Yeah, it's John Wick except for my truck and not a puppy.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, we need a John Wick episode. Like, we need an
episode. Oh, don't kill the dog. That's our one thing.
To never kill Shalona. I think I agree with you. Zofia loves this truck, but like, I think the way it would get the most in danger is by going through this roadblock. So I think taking the truck away from this farm, deeper in the woods, hiding it under some freaking bushes
it could be within a few hundred feet of the house as long as it's, you know, that's all I'm saying. Don't park it in the driveway and then expect it to be there. That's all.
Yeah. But I think that we should become a mobile unit from now on. I think we should take everything that we can from the truck besides like the cartoon mask and, you know. Maybe the vehicle parts, you know, we can leave the vehicle parts. We're not going to need them except for with the vehicle. But I think we should take pretty much everything else.
Are there three other cartoon masks in the house? Because I really like that idea. If we're all wearing
that
one.
That would be cool. Be like Point Break.
Yeah. We are the dead presidents.
Okay. So you guys are going to set off.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we've hidden the truck.
You have hidden the truck. But it's taken a shift of work because I'm imagining branches and trees and like completely sort of like covering this thing, cutting things and arranging it in a way that you feel completely hides it, at least to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. And then you set off. We'll do this off air, but we're going to have to do encumbrance and stuff because if you're carrying multiple weapons, that's going to get heavy really quick. So just something to think about. And you start setting off through the woods, a long hike. Now, safe to assume you're going to take like a wide way around the roadblock. You're not going to go near that route that you first drove.
Right.
You will just take kind of a wide way around it to avoid that. Do you want to go close enough to it to see it or examine it?
Yes, I do.
Scout it.
I feel like that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. We'll say you approach from the south in the woods, more than a kilometer away, and you're being extremely silent. I assume, Lime, that no matter what, you're bringing a Dragunov along with a scope. Okay. So with that in mind, we'll say you get to a distance on the next day that you feel is good enough for this roadblock, and you start trying to recon from the woods. You are looking through Lime, and we see now there's a lot of trees in the way, so maybe the information is a little bit imperfect, but the large obstruction that you initially saw, now you see it from a different angle, and you see the big wheels of a tractor, what looks like a farm tractor, but it's kind of turned to its side in the road, blocking the road. You see next to it are these piles of oil barrels that are just sort of next to it, filling out the road on either side. Behind that roadblock, you see a truck with a machine gun mounted in the back of it. like a technical, like a civilian pickup truck with a mounted, and dude, it's lime. You're zeroing, hold on. You're zeroing in on this. Oh, I love what he would know, like every weapon, right? You zero in on it, you see that it is a PKM, which is a, I think it's like a light machine gun. It can be carried, but this one, it can also be mounted.
That's
this
what I carry. Mounted.
You carry the PKM?
Yes, it's that's my gun.
No, I think you have the assault rifle, don't you? I thought you did. I thought you chose the assault rifle instead of the PKM. Am I wrong?
You are wrong.
I am wrong.
It doesn't matter. I shouldn't have mentioned it. I have a PMK-60.
Yeah, this is a PKM. So yours is an assault rifle. Yeah, yours is an assault rifle. This is a machine gun.
That's not confusing.
I know, it is a little
confusing. Do you have a PMK or a PKM?
PMK-60 versus a PKM. Okay, so you identify this as a light machine gun mounted to the back of a pickup truck. You see there is a dirt bike there, kind of like on a kickstand, and you see three men. They're all in civilian clothes. They've got assault rifles sort of strapped around their back, and they're talking and laughing like they're just at work and smoking cigs and just BSing behind this thing. That's what you can kind of see in the distance.
Yeah.
Do any of them have their
the tattoos?
Any of them have their shirt sleeves rolled up?
No, but I would say, you know, they're in civilian clothes and they look like, I don't know how else to say it without being super rude, but they look like thugs. They are beefy. They are tough looking characters.
Bad men.
Mean, bad proud. Men.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you got one, say, you know, you got one shaved head, bald. You got two more with ball caps on. But they look scraggly. They look a little unwashed. They look, I don't know how else to describe it, but you get a bad vibe. They look like trouble.
Mean. If I pick one off right now, that's going to be an XP for me.
That's how you should be thinking. That's how the game wants you to drive your character really in point. Action forward.
Do they look like tyrants? Okay, so we know not to drive up to that roadblock.
Yep.
Yeah.
Until we've killed them. But I think we move on. I don't think there's anything we really need to do with these guys.
Depending on the timing in the game world, you know, how much time we've already spent, I'd really like to get into the town and see if we can locate the bullet farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't think there's much benefit in announcing our presence quite yet.
All right, so you decide to lay low and keep it to just the scouting for now, not engaging, and you back away and continue that long route around. You know, based on your position, you're still 2 kilometers outside of Legeis. Mm. And you work your way around, and you encounter nothing else of danger in the interim. Legeis is sort of a pocket town that's surrounded by a lot of country, a lot of farmland and stuff like that. And so there's nothing and then there's something. The best way I can describe it, obviously there's a lot of different ways, like kind of into the town. But the best way that I can describe it is you come up through the woods at one point and you come upon let's say it's like a gas station, okay? A gas station just outside of town, but it looks derelict and unused. And you're coming at it from the back, from the woods area. You come through from the back of this building. There's a dumpster back there that's completely rotted, and there's like nothing inside of it but old trash that's kind of rotted away. And so much so that it doesn't even regularly smell anymore. And you come around the side of this building, and you can see that this gas station services an exit kind of out of the town and onto that main road that you were driving to the where the roadblock was. You see rising up against it, you see in the distance, I should say, a steeple of a basilica, I should say.
Basilica.
A basilica that you were aware of, that you chatted about in the car. But that's not what catches your attention. What catches your attention is at this main entry point into the town, which seems to open up into a town square area, you see a crane, like a construction crane that is built up against a building that seems to be in construction, 3 or 4 stories high, but seems to have stopped. Probably as war broke out, it never got finished, right? An unfinished building with this like crane sticking up, reaching out over it. And as you get out from behind this gas station and look up at the entrance to the area, you see hanging from the crane are 2 bodies.
Oh, shit.
Swaying in the wind.
It's like Sicario.
It's like Sicario. And we'll pick up there next week.
Oh, I can't wait to take these guys down. I keep finding RPG targets. I'm like, ooh, that crane. Yeah.
Ooh, that show me all the RPG targets.
Oh, man. Oh, okay, we'll fight these guys.
These guys are so bad. They're so bad.
Excuse
you, it must be punished.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
The world is ending. You just don't know it yet, but you feel it deep down in your bones, don't you? Some call it the Great Undoing, as it seeps in at the edges of forgotten places, where crumbling, abandoned ruins slowly fade away, and in their fading, these places wear thin the fabric of reality, their rot creeping outward. It calls to you, and to the others. Edge of the Forgotten is a supernatural horror hybrid podcast, with season 1 totaling 13 narrated episodes and 10 full cast audio drama episodes. Now running on the Realm Network and all popular podcast platforms, with new episodes every Tuesday through the end of November. Welcome to The Undoing. Welcome to Edge of the Forgotten.